Ens tenim uns de falta, uns de sant, ens hem de dir concretament. Kulla sana wantum tayyibin for the Feast of Nairuz. And at the beginning of the new Catholic year, we will talk, God willing, about repentance. Repentance according to the sayings of St. John Chrysostom in the 4th century. Repentance is 7 points. Number one is to regret, to have remorse. When I do sin, I regret what I did. And number two is to admit that I am a sinner. Don't justify yourself. Don't justify yourself. If I justify myself, I am not worthy for the justification of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't say excuses. Don't blame others. Don't blame the circumstances. Number one is to regret. Number two is to admit. Number three is to correct. Some sins we can correct. If I bother anybody, I can ask forgiveness. I can apologize. I say sorry. If I stole something, I should do it back. I wanted to live the life of repentance. So number one is to admit. Number one is to regret. Number two is to admit. Number three, to correct. Number four is to have hope. Because Judas Iscariot, he regret what he did. And he admitted that he is a sinner. And our Lord Jesus Christ is innocent. And he corrected because he returned back the silver. But he had no hope. This is why he killed himself. He committed suicide because he had no hope. And always we have hope. Hope not in ourselves, but hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, that he empowers us and they can give us a new life. So we should to have hope. Satan tempts us always to lead us to despair, and we should to be careful. I wanted to focus upon this. Number one, to regret. Number two, to admit, to correct, to hope. Number five is to confess. To confess to God before the Father, the priest. To confess. If we don't confess our sins, we will continue to do it. The verse in Arabic saying, "Man yaktim khatayah la yangah." Man yaktim khatayah. If you don't confess yourself, your sin, you will not prosper at all. Number six is to transform. This is in the Epistle of St. Paul to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. To transform your mind, to change your thoughts. to change your thoughts, تغير عن شكلكم بتجديد أذهانكم, to transform, because it is not a cycle. I do sin, I regret, and I return back to sin and to regret. It is not a cycle. I should do a change. The cycle, you can find it in the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, there is a cycle with four words. Each starts with the letter S. Sinning, suffering, supplication, salvation, and the return back to sin and to suffer and to supplicate, to ask God and God to save them, so they return back to sin again. This is a cycle, and we don't like this cycle in our life. Last one is to renew. To renew your mind, your behavior, your attitude, your life. يقول إن كان إنساننا الخارج يفنى فالداخل يتجدد. The inward we should to be renewed. How often? Daily. إنساننا الداخل يتجدد يوما فيوما. إنساننا الداخل يتجدد يوما فيوما. Repentance is the theme of the preaching of St. John the Baptist. كل سنة وانتم طيبين. Today is the feast of St. John the Baptist. So the theme of St. John the Baptist, he asked the people to repent. And our Lord Jesus Christ also asked the holy disciples to ask people to repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. And St. Peter, in the first sermon in Christianity in the day of Pentecost, as it is mentioned in the book of Acts chapter 2, he asked the people to repent. St. Paul also, in his preaching, he asked people to repent. We should to live the life of repentance. To live the life of repentance. St. John Chrysostom has 9 sermons about repentance. We will talk about the first one today. If we have time, we will talk about little about the second one. But all the sermons of St. John Chrysostom about repentance are very, very interesting. It is a book. The whole book is about repentance. The whole book is about repentance. The first sermon, he is talking about discouragement and laziness. He said that discouragement doesn't make, it leads those who are standing to fall. And laziness doesn't allow those who fall to stand up again. These are very dangerous in our spiritual life. Discouragement or despair and laziness. And actually, nobody goes to his father of confession and they say, I have despair or I have laziness. Although laziness is very dangerous. Do you know that David, the prophet, did sin? he committed adultery and he killed. What is the reason of his sin? Laziness. Because he didn't go with the army to the war. And because of laziness, he stayed at home. And when he stayed at home, he got boredom. And he went on the roof of his house and he committed sin. And the reason of his sin is laziness. So be careful of laziness. And the Saint John Chrysostom give examples with Judas the traitor. And they give example with Saint Paul. Saint Judas Iscariot, because of discouragement, because of despair, he killed himself. And Saint Paul, he was a persecutor, but he had hope. He had hope. He gave examples with the right thief on the cross. He had hope, even in the last day, not in the last day, in the last hours of his life. He had hope. This is why he repented. And our Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And he gave examples with the publican. You know the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The publican was a sinner, but he had hope. And this is why he repented. The Ninevites, they had hope. This is why they repented and God forgave them and God didn't punish them. And St. John Chrysostom said, what could 3 days have accomplished? What could 3 days have accomplished? When we have hope, the 3 days can change our life. He gave examples with the sinner of Corinth. Who is the sinner of Corinth? This man is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and he is mentioned again in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. This man was a sinner. What was his sin? He married his stepmother and is still going to the church. Some people, when he heard, this man should be excommunicated, not allowing him to come to the Holy Communion. You should to separate him. And he did. And he regretted. He repented because of the punishment. And still, the congregation, the Church of Corinth, didn't accept him to the church again. Saint Paul in 2 Corinthians asked them to let him to return back because he repented. And to show him love, charity, agape. And he repented and he returned back. Even his sin was too dangerous, but Saint John Chrysostom asked them to show him love. And Saint John Chrysostom said, the sorrow which would have brought salvation for the sins becomes destructive as a result of its excessiveness. You know this word? Sorrow is a result of sin. The sin of our four parents, Adam and Eve. The result of their sin is sorrow. But God changed sorrow, the result of sin, to be a source of salvation. When we do sin, we feel sorry. And this sorrow, it leads us to repent and to return back. But this sorrow, it should be with limited amount. Because if I have excessive sorrow, it leads me to despair. Just like the treatment, the medicine. If the physician asked me to take one spoon of medicine 3 days, 3 times a day, and I say, what is the spoon it makes? I will drink the whole bottle. This, it will be destructive. So sorrow for sin, it should be with the exact as San Jean Chrysostom said. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. St. Paul asked the people of Corinth to weep with the sinner of Corinth. If you see your friend or your relative doing a sin, weep with him or weep with her. Don't say, no, I am okay, this is their problem. No, we should to pray for each other. We rejoice with each other. And do we weep with each other? If you say someone is going astray, away from God, you should to pray for him and to try to help him to return back. Why is this? Because we are members in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. As the members, as the organs of the body, the eye is caring for the ear, and the ear for the tongue, and so on. We are members in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we should to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And he gave examples with the prodigal son in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15. The prodigal son, he wasted his inheritance. He hurt the feeling of his father and his family. He went away, but he had hope. This is why he returned back, and he repented, and he repented. These examples, St. Jean Chrysostom gives them with details. Judas repented, for he said, I sinned, betraying innocent blood. But what did the devil do? He troubled Judas, darkened him with excessive faint-heartedness, with excessive sorrow. This is why he killed himself, persecuted him, hunted him, until he led him toward the hangman's noose, snatched him from this life. Excessive sorrow consumed him. Excessive sorrow consumed him. So Satan trying to tempt us to do sin and to repeat it, and repeating sin, it becomes a habit, and by habits it leads us to excessive sorrow, so we have despair, and this to lead us away completely from God. But we should to have hope always. We should to have hope always. Discouragement produce worse evils among us than laziness. Discouragement, both of them are dangerous. Discouragement or laziness, but discouragement or despair is more dangerous than laziness. Is more dangerous than laziness. St. Paul, a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, he rose up and became equal to the angels. This is the saying of St. Jean Chrysostom. St. Jean Chrysostom, he loves St. Paul too much. But he talked about his life before his repentance. And he said, when he repented, he became like equal to angels. He became equal to angels. The thief, after so much evil, entered into paradise. You are not more worse than the thief. If the thief entered into paradise, You have hope. You have hope. The publican, who did not become discovered, aged, surpassed the Pharisee. He did more sins than the Pharisee, but because of the pride of the Pharisee, he failed. And because of humbleness and the repentance of the publican, returned back to God. The Ninevites, they didn't give up their courage, their hope. What could 3 days have accomplished? The sinner of Corinth. St. Paul was more afraid of discouragement than of sin. St. Paul told the Corinthians to mourn because of the sin of this man. Do we mourn for the sin of others? Do we mourn for the sin of others? Do we weep for the sins of others? Do we care about the sins of others? Do we trying to help them to repent and to return back? Should you not rather mourn? St. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians. Should you not rather mourn? Because we are all joined to one another in the same manner as the body is with its members. When the foot is injured, we see the head bowing down. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. After the repentance of the sinner of Corinth, St. Paul said, reaffirm your love for him. Reaffirm your love to him. And he explained what is the meaning of reaffirm. Love as certain, unshakable, fervent, ardent, and fiery. Lest such a one should be swallowed up by excessive sorrow. Excessive sorrow is wrong. Excessive sorrow is wrong because it leads to despair. And sometimes it leads to depression. So we should do it carefully. The sorrow which would have brought salvation for the sins becomes destructive as a result of its excessiveness, lest we are taken advantage of by Satan. The prodigal son, his father did not hinder him from departing to the foreign land so that he could learn well from the experience how much beneficence he enjoyed while remaining at home. He returned and his father didn't remember the wrongs that he did. And his father didn't punish him. And the St. John Chrysostom will show us why his father didn't punish him. Because he said, it is enough for him. The time he stayed away from home, this is punishment. To be away from God, it means you are away from your father. To be away from your heavenly father, this in itself is punishment. This in itself is punishment. To be away from God is to be away from blessings. To be away from God is to be away from life. He had committed against him, but he accepted him with open arms. In the foreign land, he was separated from their company for a very long time, and he battled to the finish with famine, dishonor, and the worst evils. This is the punishment of the prodigal son. But not always God doesn't punish. He didn't punish the prodigal son, but he punished the Jews. He punished the Jews. Why he punished the Jews? Because he sent them many prophets, many physicians, as St. John Chrysostom said. And he sent them myriads of words of prophecy. But they didn't accept it. This is why God punished them and sent them to exile. The second homily of St. John Chrysostom, about the repentance, he shows us the ways of repentance. He shows us the ways of repentance. He said, Satan afraid and horrified when repentance is being praised. Satan doesn't like anyone to talk about repentance. Satan doesn't like you to think about repentance. And he tries to make you too busy and you don't think about the life of repentance. He shudders with terrors. This repentance snatched great vessels from him, from Satan, the harlot, the publican, the thief, the blasphemer. Repentance snatched them from Satan. Repentance snatched them from Satan. Roads to repentance. In the second homily, or in the second sermon of St. John Chrysostom, he mentioned three roads of repentance. The first one, the confession of sin. The confession of sin. He said, to make one statement, I have sinned. I have sinned. The devil is an accuser who cannot remain silent. He will accuse you before God and he will say, you are a sinner. So snatch the honor from him and tell God, I am a sinner. So when Satan goes to God and to say, this one is a sinner to accuse you, God will tell him that he confessed his sin. He confessed his sin. When you confess, you snatch the honor away from him, from Satan. And he gives two examples of confession of sin. One didn't confess, and the other confessed his sin. The first one is Cain. The second one is David the prophet. Cain, he didn't confess when God asked him, where is your brother Abel? Why God asked Cain? God is omniscient. Omniscient, he knows everything. So when God asks, he means something. He asked Adam, where are you? He asked Cain, where is your brother? He asked Elijah the prophet, where are you now? He asked Jonah, the prophet. He asked St. Peter, do you love me? So when God asked, he means something. When God asked, he means something. To lead the sinner to confess. To lead the sinner to confess. And it is very interesting to know. I will give you examples about the questions of God. In the Gospel of St. John, chapter 21, when he asked St. Peter, do you love me? The word love in Greek has four words. The first word is philia. Philia is a natural love. I love those who love me, and I hate those who hate me. It's natural love. In the Christians and in the non-Christians and the believers and the unbelievers, philia. This word becomes philanthropic. The opposite is phobia. The second word, when philia it comes lower, it becomes eros. This passionate love. The love of lust. This is why in Egypt they say, فلان وقع في الحب. وقع الفيليا comes down, lower. This is when someone loves a girl to love a boy or a boy to love a girl, and this eros. Filia, eros. But higher than filia is agape, the Christian love. I love those who love me, and I love those who hate me. I love my enemies. I love my enemies. The last word is storge. Storge means family love. Love my parents, even the treat me good or anything. I love them. I love my brother. I love my sisters. It comes to the questions of our Lord Jesus Christ. He asked St. Peter, do you love me? What do you think when our Lord asked St. Peter? What word he used from these four words? Philia, Eros, Agape, or Storge? What the Lord did use? Agape, very good. Very good, Agape. And St. Peter answered, yes, Lord, I love you. But St. Peter used what word? Agave?
No.
He used the philia. I love you, natural love. This is why our Lord repeated the question. He asked him again, do you love me? He used the agave. And St. Peter answered, yes, I love you. And he used philia again. The Lord asked him for the third time, but the Lord used the word philia. Even with philia, with the natural love, do you love me? St. Peter couldn't answer. And he felt sorry, and he said, you know everything. You know everything. So when God asks, he means something. So he asked Cain, the one who knows for certain all things, asked him, not because he didn't know, but to drag the murderer into repentance. To drag the murderer into repentance. Cain answered, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? I don't ask you to be your brother's keeper, but don't be your brother's murderer. So even his answer, it is not polite. Even his answer, it wasn't polite. He immediately examined and punished. He has no shame. He said, my sin is too great to be forgiven. He had no hope. His misfortune becomes a mother of philosophy. Cain went about like a living glass, like a mobile pillar. Like a mobile pillar. The second example is David, the prophet and the king. His prophecy spans to the ends of the earth. And his prophecy yields eternal words. It would be better for the sun to be extinguished than for David's words to be forgotten. He fell into adultery and envy, the prophet and the king. And the prophet was found in adultery. The pearl in mud. The pearl in mud. However, he did not yet understand that he had sinned. If the soul becomes darkened, the body rules in mud. As long as the soul is sober and vigilant, this very body remains in purity, watchfulness. He committed adultery, yet neither was he aware nor was censured by anyone. No one blamed him. No one asked him for repentance. This occurred in his most vulnerable years. So you may learn that if you are lazy, not even old age benefits you. If you are lazy,
not even old age benefits you. Behavior doesn't depend on age, but on the direction of the will. David was found in his vulnerable years falling into adultery, committing murder, and he was unaware that he had sinned. What did God do? He sent him another prophet. A prophet went to a prophet. He sent to him the prophet Nathan. One prophet went to the other prophet. Just as when one physician is taken ill, he needs the assistance of another physician. Nathan didn't censure him as soon as he passed his door, but he told him a story. He told him a story, and after he heard his judgment, you know the story. Nathan told him, that one have many sheep, and his neighbor has only one. And he took his neighbor's sheep and he killed it. And David said, is this in my kingdom? And Nathan said, yes, in your kingdom. And David said, this man should be killed. And he told him, you are the man, my king. You are the man, my king. What did the king say? He didn't excuse himself. He didn't try to justify himself. He didn't say, how you said this to me? I am the king. But he said, I have sinned against the Lord. Not against Uriah or Bathsheba. I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to him, and the Lord remitted your sin. You will not die. God forgave him, but he still remembered his sin. And he wept. He wept day and night. And remembering his sin always. Because St. John Chrysostom said, remember your last sins. And this is to keep you not to commit sins in the future. Remembering the past sins, it keeps you from sinning in the future. It keeps you from sinning in the future. This is the first root of repentance, confession of sin. The second one is mourn, and you annul the sin. You will void it. Mourn, weep for your sin. I am not telling you to cleave the oceans or to navigate safely into port for the high seas or to march or to depart on an endless journey or to pay money. I ask you to mourn, to weep your sins. And they give an example. The King Ahab. The King Ahab in 1 Kings, who was under the influence of his wife Jezebel. Jezebel, a most shameless, forbidden, and accursed woman. They preached fasting in order to commit murder. They killed Yezreel. Now Naboth Eliezrael was stoned and died, and she said to Ahab, rise up, so we may inherit the vineyard, since Naboth died. God sent Ahab the prophet Elijah. Go, he said, say to Ahab, just as you murdered and took possession, likewise your blood shall be spilled, and the dogs will lick your blood, and the prostitutes will bathe themselves in your blood.
But Ahab did. He mourned. He wept. He took off his royal clothes, and he put on sackcloth. He sat on ash, and he wept. And God changed his judgment. He told Elijah to return back to Ahab and to tell him that God delayed the punishment because you humbled yourself, you wept your sin.
The decision was final. As Ahab heard these things, he became melancholy and mourned his sin. He realized the injustice he had committed, and God canceled the decree against him. However, God first notified Elijah so that he would not appear as a liar. Do you see how Ahab lived, mourning and looking melancholy before me? I will not act according to his wickedness. And God canceled the decree against Ahab because he wept his sin and he repented. So the first way of repentance is confession of sin. Number two is to mourn. Number three, and he said, this is very interesting. Oh my, the Lord became an advocate, like a lawyer of his servant, Ahab. The master becomes a servant's advocate. Ahab reformed his manner of living. It changed his character. The third way, by being humble. So, we said 7 points of repentance. I don't want you to forget. Number one is to regret. Number two, to admit. Number three, to correct. Number four, to hope. Number five, to confess. Number six, to transform. Number seven, to renew. And we talked about the roots of repentance. Number one is confession of sin. Number two, to mourn your sin. And this is number three, by being humble, to humble yourself. I spoke of many roads toward the repentance in order to make salvation easy for you to achieve via these diverse roads. The parable of the publican and the Pharisee in Luke 18. The Pharisee began to enumerate his virtues. He condemned the entire world. He slandered everyone. By being humble, the publican became righteous. Words revealed over deeds. This is the sayings of St. John Chrysostom. All this, I didn't write any my own words, but all these are the writings of St. John Chrysostom. He said, words revealed over deeds. The words of the publican were not humility either, but truth. Tell me, who is worse than the publican? Therefore, if the publican, a sinner, was worthy of so much grace by being humble, how much more so is he who is virtuous and possesses a humble frame of mind. This is the third one. I will not talk about it. But this is to taste
the writings of the fathers of the church, and to experience it, and to live it, and to live it, and to know how it is easy, and also how it is interesting, and to do your homework, and to return back, and to search for this book, for St. John Chrysostom about the repentance, which is 9 sermons, very interesting, all of them about the repentance, to lead us to the life of repentance. So we ask God, by His grace, to give us inheritance in His kingdom, and to repent. And the repentance is, in Greek, metanoia. Metanoia means a changing mind, a changing behavior, a changing attitude. Repentance is to be too easy, is U-turn. I am walking in a way it leads to Hades, and I repent. It means I did U-turn. I made U-turn to walk in the way of the eternal kingdom, to the kingdom of God. This is the repentance, metanoia, U-turn. We ask God to give us all the life of repentance, and glory be to God forever. Amen.
If you have any questions.